In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text this morning for Matthew chapter 25. While the bridegroom was delayed, all the virgins slumbered and slept, and at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So far our text. Jesus is very concerned that you know what to expect when it comes to his second coming, and also that you be ready for it. He wants you, and he wants everyone else in the world, in fact, to join him for the eternal wedding feast. This is shown by the fact that as you approach our gospel reading for today, if you go earlier in the book of Matthew, the entirety of Matthew chapter 24 and a good portion of Matthew chapter 23 are all about the second coming of Christ. Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. You can be certain of that. You do not know when it will happen. No one, in fact, Jesus says himself, no one knows when that day or when that hour will come. That's why it's so important to be ready for that day to come. If you knew when he was coming, you could specifically plan for that day, you could circle it on the calendar, and you could live your life however you pleased until you got to that day. And then on that day, you could be ready. But as it is, you don't know if it'll be today or if it will be hundreds of years from now. And so Jesus' command is rather simple. As St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, stay sober and watchful. In the third article of the Apostles' Creed, we confess what it is that the Holy Spirit has done for us and what he will continue to do for us throughout our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus says himself, is to direct people to Jesus, to remind them of all that he has said, all that he has done, and all that he has taught. The Holy Spirit is who brings us into the church and keeps us in the church in order that when Christ returns on the last day, we might be found ready for his appearing. And the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to do this are the Word of God and the Holy Sacraments. In fact, we must constantly maintain this point. God does not want to deal with us in any other way than through the spoken Word and sacraments. And what are the sacraments? They are extensions and expressions of the Word of God. Baptism is the Word of God attached to water. The Lord's Supper is the Word of God bound up to bread and wine. Without the Word, the sacraments are nothing. And so in the end, the Holy Spirit really only works using one tool, and that is the Word of God. It is this one tool that converts from unbelief to faith, and it is this one tool that keeps you in the one true faith. It is nothing other than the Holy Word of God. And that is what is meant by the lamp that each of the virgins, be they wise or foolish, possesses in the parable that Jesus tells. In Jesus' parable, the virgins are the whole Christian church. All who are in the church came into the church in the same way. They were called by the gospel, and they were enlightened with his gifts. Again, this is the very word of God. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Baptism, again, is the word of God bound up to ordinary water in order that the forgiveness of sins and salvation may be bestowed on the one being baptized. All Christians have this. All Christians have this lamp. But is it enough? On the one hand, of course it's enough. Faith is faith. If one trusts in Christ Jesus and one confesses with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then they are saved. If you are found to have this faith when Christ returns, you will be saved. It is as simple as that. But this does, of course, presuppose in a way that Jesus is coming immediately and without delay. But that's not what happens in the parable, is it? The bridegroom doesn't come immediately. He doesn't come right away. Instead, he is delayed. That is, Christ is delayed. In between the time that Christ ascends into heaven and the time that he returns, a whole lot can and has and will happen. These things that happen to be things that Satan uses to drive a wedge between you and God and his word. They are the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, just hoping that you will forsake the word of God, and the longer that this goes on, that is, the longer that the bridegroom is delayed, the harder it is to resist the things that come to destroy your faith. The longer the bridegroom is delayed, the more oil your lamp needs in order to keep burning. The delay in Jesus' parable is so long, in fact, that all the virgins, wise and foolish alike, fall asleep as they are waiting. But the sleep here that Jesus speaks of is not the sleep that you go to bed one night and wake up the next morning or something like that. The sleep that Jesus speaks of here is the sleep of death. The wages of sin is death. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All die, but not all run out of oil in their lamps. The wise virgins, they kept their lamps full of oil. They were ready to go. They wanted to make sure that when the bridegroom came and awakens them from their sleep, that is, when the bridegroom comes and raises them from the dead, that they're ready. That they're ready to go. They are ready to meet the bridegroom and enter into the wedding hall. Now, the foolish virgins, they are awakened too. But they've got a problem on their hands. They didn't have enough oil for their lamps. Now, it wasn't that they didn't have a lamp, and it wasn't even that they never had oil in their lamp at all. It's that they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough oil to outlast the delay of the bridegroom's return. And what is this oil? This oil is the Holy Spirit. These foolish virgins have deprived themselves of the Holy Spirit. So what are they to do? How are they going to get oil in their lamps in order that they too can go and meet the bridegroom? Well, their first reaction in Jesus' parable sounds fairly reasonable. I mean, if you're out of oil and you see people that have some, why not go to them and see if maybe they've got some extra that they can lend to you? Surely they will share. The wise virgins, though, declined to share any of their oil. Now, if this were a story about literal lamps and literal oil, that'd be just kind of rude. We're talking about the kingdom of God here, though. If the wise virgins share their oil, and of course they point this out, if the wise virgins share their oil with the foolish ones, they won't have enough for themselves to go out and meet the bridegroom in the wedding hall. And on top of that, there is the reality that faith cannot be shared. Now don't hear me wrong on that. You can and should, in one sense, share your faith. You should share your faith with those whom you love. If you truly love them, you should desire that they be saved. This means that if they don't have faith in Christ, you should do something about that. You should talk to them about Jesus. You should share your faith with them. It also means that you should comfort your brothers and sisters in Christ and edify them, remind them of the gospel, remind them of what God has done for them. But in another sense, it is quite impossible to share your faith. That is, you can't believe for someone else. And more importantly, the opposite doesn't work either. Another person's faith can't save you. Your mom's faith can't save you. Your dad's faith can't save you. Your grandma or your grandpa's faith won't do you any good. Your best friend's faith can't save you. Pick whoever you want. Just because they have faith in Christ doesn't automatically mean that you do. Now again, in that original sense that I talked about, they can in fact, and perhaps have, shared their faith with you. In fact, many of you believe in Christ largely because of faith of others that has been passed down to you. But just because they have faith, just because they have oil in their lamps, doesn't automatically mean that you do. Their oil, the measure of the Holy Spirit that they have, can't be shared with you. The wise virgins in Jesus' parable are wise in more ways than one. They are wise in that they have enough oil to keep their lamps burning so that they can join the bridegroom in the wedding hall. They are also wise in that they know that the only way to get oil for their lamps is to go to those who sell oil and buy it for yourself. That's what they tell the foolish virgins to do. And the foolish virgins follow this advice given by the wise virgins. This is the right thing to do, but it's too late. By the time they come back to the door of the wedding hall, it's closed and locked, and the haunting words come from the other side of the door into the horrified ears of those foolish virgins, "I never knew you." Now, it is absolutely true that the Lord God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And it is absolutely true that God has provided all things necessary for this to happen. He sent his Son Jesus to suffer and die in your place, winning for you eternal salvation. In your baptism, his word of promise attached to the water brought you into the Christian faith. And in this action, you were given a lamp, and you were even given some oil to go in that lamp. But that first measure of oil that's given to you is not going to last forever. There are indeed many who are foolish and think that it actually is enough. They use the fact that they've been baptized as a sort of get-out-of-jail-free card. Yes, you were given a lamp and you were given some oil when you were baptized. But the longer the bridegroom is delayed, the more you're going to need. For the bridegroom, Christ is delayed in his returning. The church has been waiting for about 2,000 years, in fact, for him to come back. If he came back right at the moment that you were baptized, when you were welcomed into the church, when you were given that lamp and that initial measure of oil, you'd be all set. Nothing to worry about. But that's not how it's been. Instead, you, like Christ himself, are cast into the wilderness of this world right after your baptism and tempted daily by Satan. You need more oil. And so what do? Well, you go to the place where oil is sold. You go to where the Holy Spirit is given freely. And the oil that is the Holy Spirit flows freely here in the church for you. It's not a matter of lack of availability. It's about making sure that you are in the place where oil is sold. That is, being in the place where the Holy Spirit is active. And you can be certain that wherever the Word of God is preached in its purity and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution, that there is the Holy Spirit at work for you and being poured out upon you. Returning to the third article of the Apostles' Creed, we do not just confess that the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel and enlightens us with his gifts, but he sanctifies and he keeps us in the one true faith. That is, the Spirit continues to be poured out upon us that we may remain steadfast to the end. And that ultimately is the goal of all of the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes to prepare you for the last day when Christ returns, so that he may find your lamp burning brightly and welcome you who are known by him into the wedding hall. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.